Welcome to yet another sparkling edition of On The Record.
On The Record, that's right. Heading up for 6 million listens.
We're going that way. Who are you?
Blazing a trail. I'm Mike Porky Parry.
I'm Mike Graham. We are the two Mikes, of
course. Are.
And we've got some news for you coming up if you keep listening to these podcasts.
We'll yes.
keep you informed about what we're up to.
We will indeed.
Over the course of time.
We will indeed.
A bit of TV action, maybe.
A bit of TV action.
A bit of live stage
live
action.
Live stage action. Could be in the north of England as well. But could anyway, be. Look, we'll keep you posted.
Yeah, we now, will.
Hey, Porky.
Yes.
Do you ever read The Economist?
I read The Economist. I do. I read it religiously.
Do you?
I do. I'm telling you, it's not just a magazine that you think would be based on banking and finance and the economy.
Right.
It's a fantastic magazine with all sorts of features in it. Keeps me busy for hours on end. I'm telling you, it is a mine of information.
It really is. It covers science, technology, arts, yep. and even the environment. It's sifts through the noise, focusing on the essential information that tells the real story.
And do you know it's been around for 170 years?
Has it?
A trusted source of intelligence, I would call it, OK? And it's for the kind of person who never stops asking questions and wants to know why the world the way it is. Now, a story has caught my attention this week,
Has
which
it?
You, of course, will know I'm very concerned about.
Mm.
Major airlines are thinking of phasing out first class.
Yeah, well, that's bad news for
you. Well, it's not good. It's no good travelling if you're not travelling first class. You've got to have the aspiration to get a first class seat during your business life. I'll be protesting about that one.
Okay, well, I like the cover story this week, which is the yep. new scramble for Africa and how the Africans could win it. This is all about
yes.
the resources,
yes.
the minerals, and all the stuff and all the business in Africa that is being currently looked at by countries around the world.
Talk about a seam and vein of wealth. You're absolutely right.
Mm.
Now then. For your free print copy of The Economist, just text RECORD, that's RECORD, to 78070.
That's right? Get a free print copy of The Economist. Get it now. Just text the word RECORD, RECORD, to 78070.
Now, we're 2 or 3 months past Christmas, so don't talk about Christmas story, but one of the consequences of what happens at Christmas is starting to come back and bite people on the bum, OK?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I am the person who first advocated cancel the Christmas parties.
Yes.
Christmas parties are rubbish.
You don't like them.
Well, Christmas parties were, years ago, you had one of those to reward the staff once a year
yeah.
because it was a society in which there wasn't much life, wasn't much colour, nobody had any money, let's have a Christmas party.
Yeah.
Frankly, after working in Fleet Street for 30 years and associated industries, every night can be a party now if you want it to be, OK? Now, I'm telling you all this because...
I'm telling you.
Right. A charity worker
yeah.
who says she was injured at a Christmas party
yeah.
when she was picked up and dropped by a drunk Cambridge professor,
oh, yeah.
right,
right,
is suing the people who put the party on for £300,000.
Blimey.
How about that?
And what was she doing with the Cambridge drunken Cambridge professor?
Sandra Shelbourne,
yeah.
who's aged 61. 61? And by the way, I'll show you a picture of her because I wouldn't have picked her up, right? You know, would you have picked her up?
Crikey.
No.
No.
No,
absolutely
at 61.
No chance.
So the old professor...
he was obviously bladderated beyond any sort of sense.
Yeah, absolutely. These are all allegations, by the way. Remember this, won't you?
Yeah, of course.
So she says she's been left with painful back injuries
yeah.
because she was manhandled by Robert Bielik.
Bielik?
Bielik.
That's a funny name.
Yeah. On the dance floor of an event thrown by Cancer Research UK...
Mm.
when he was highly inebriated.
Really?
How about that?
Well, what was he doing at Cancer UK's party highly inebriated?
Well, because he's a Cambridge research professor trying to solve cancer, trying to...
So these people both work for the research
yeah.
Arm of Cancer UK? Or
yeah.
Whatever.
The High Court...
I'll tell
right,
you what, it's not been a great year for charities, is
no,
it?
No, no.
I mean, every single charity you can think of...
Absolutely.
...has had some kind of problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Oxfam,
yeah.
Save the Children...
Molestations and all that kind of stuff.
We've had, I think, UNHCR has been in trouble.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Now it's Cancer UK.
Anyway, the High Court heard he had drunk vodka, red wine
yeah.
and beer...
Yes.
And this wasn't even the Christmas just gone, by the way.
Right.
It was 6 years ago.
Really?
This was 6 years ago.
Why did it
ago,
take this, so long to come to fruition?
Well, because right. You know, all the sooner...
Well, so she was a bit younger then. She was only 65.
She was only 55, yeah. But probably didn't look a lot better, you know, in fairness. But,
a bit harsh.
It is a bit harsh. But
she might have been easier to pick up, though.
Yeah, that's right. But on the particular night in question,
yes.
he'd picked up three women already... before turning his attention to Mrs. Shelbourne.
Right. What, you mean physically picked them up?
Physically picked yeah. them up, yeah, yeah. So
there are a lot of weird guys like that. They like to sort of,
yeah,
you know,
I don't know why.
Richard Branson used to do it for a while.
He turns women upside
yeah.
down.
Was
Richard Branson,
was it Mary Nightingale?
That's right, and turn her upside down and then swing around again. Now, that's all right if it's a model who's got very tight trousers on or something like that. But ladies who've got flowing skirts and all that found it a bit
But it was a bit odd. I think it was a bit odd as well. It was a strange thing to do. I mean, in my view now, I mean, I would not even dream of going up to any woman in a work atmosphere and touching them, right?
When I do,
no chance.
When I do a bit of TV with Jeremy Vine, they always want you to do a group picture in front of the Jeremy Vine logo
it's
sign and all that.
I imagine that is.
And
you can't put your arm around
No, I always say, is it all right to put my arm there? Yeah. You know, there's an attractive young lady. Right. There have been some attractive young ladies. Jamelia, the pop artist.
Oh, yes.
I had to say to her, Jamelia, is it all right if I put my hand on your shoulder? She said, yes, of course. Mm. But you have to be very careful the way you do it, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, now, this guy, Bielik, believe it or not,
Bielik.
Is one of the country's leading experts in brain scanning.
Well, he's obviously one of the great experts in vodka drinking as well.
That's right.
And getting you down your neck.
So the lady concerned, Sandra Shelbourne, she says, he grabbed me without my consent. Mm. I'm now unable to go back to work as an animal technician at the charity. And that's why she's put in this huge bill for damages, okay?
Well, it's taken a while, though, isn't it?
It's taken ages, but these things always do.
Yeah, but imagine if you're her, right? If you're not able to work...
For six years.
I mean, what do you do in the meantime?
Well, maybe... I think there might be a case, although this is not a full report of the trial. And by the way, Mr. Justice Lane, who heard this in the High Court, will give his judgment later.
Okay.
So that's why we say it's all alleged.
So it's over and
might
done
be.
With.
Yeah, the case is over and done with. He's got to give his judgment. Now, the point is that I perceive from reading the report in this case that her condition got steadily worse.
Maybe.
Do you see what I mean?
Maybe.
And that's why she's going. Anyway, Cancer Research, who were throwing the party, right, are fighting the claim. Denies its staff were to blame.
Yeah.
And it says a victory of Mrs. Shelbourne would lead to all their future Christmas parties being cancelled, and they would advise other charities to take note of this case in case they fell for the, you know, the same problematic development, okay? Yeah.
Well, this is why, you know, we complain all the time about how, you know, we live in this kind of health and safety environment, it's a nightmare, nobody's having any fun anymore.
Yeah.
It's because of these kind of cases
that
makes organisations be very wary of ever doing anything.
Yes, that's right.
You know?
Well, yeah, but these Christmas parties are appalling. People lose their jobs.
Yeah.
They call their boss a wanker, you know.
Marriages.
Bust marriages. Deaths. People. Yeah. If I tell you what, I went to the Christmas party, and it was a lunchtime reception, where Alan Hudson went, the footballer, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And I was with David Emery, actually.
What,
you know,
what was the do then?
Well, I don't know. It was somewhere in Park Lane, so it was a football do.
Oh, it was like a lunch, big lunch.
Yeah, big lunch. You know, yeah, it was a big lunch, like an awards lunch or something like. That. But it was a Christmas one.
Right.
It was. I specifically remember it was a Christmas one. And Alan Hudson left in a white tuxedo. A very handsome young man in those days. He'd been an England footballer.
Yeah.
Played for Chelsea, Stoke City. You know. He didn't win as many caps as people thought he should have won.
Yeah.
I think he sort of started enjoying the
did
high
he
life
in America.
Sorry,
did
no,
he,
I,
did
I
he not make it America.
I don't think he did, but he was part of the King's Road set with Peter Osgood and all that lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he got off a tube train in somewhere like Bethnal Green, or what's the one next to it? You know, the Blind Beggar area. You know,
oh yeah, Whitechapel.
Whitechapel. Yeah, right? Yeah. It was Whitechapel, and he's walking down the road. And he says he wasn't intoxicated, but he stepped off the road and a car hit him and destroyed his life.
Right.
I mean, he had dozens of operations. He had, you know, memory problems, memory loss, dysfunctional physical conditions, and ended up living in a homeless shelter.
Really?
All as a result of going to that one Christmas party when, you know, we have to accept, he says he wasn't intoxicated, but he stepped off the road and... in front of a car, because he never won any damages from the car or anything like that, you know.
Well, maybe you never looked for any.
Well, I think
you would. Because, I mean, I think nowadays, if you're involved in something like that, where you get run over, I think it's almost de rigueur
for
a law firm to get involved and to say, you know, you've got to sue these people.
That's right.
You know?
Anyway, so during the court case, one QC says, a drunk man at a party lifting up women without their consent is an accident waiting to happen, okay?
Yeah, he's not wrong.
But what Cancer Research said is, they said, if this compensation payout succeeds, it will make all companies drop Christmas festivities, and reasonable people might view that as health and safety gone mad and destroying the Christmas spirit.
Well,
but I'm on the side. I'm on the side of the injured party here, because people do take liberties at Christmas
but
parties
the thing is, you need,
when they're pissed.
Yeah,
I think it's a disgrace.
Yeah, but you cannot overestimate the good that you know, giving your workers a bit of a sort of a letting your hair down scenario does for the morale of the place. Because I know from places where I've worked, people really see it as a massive step in the right direction.
Yeah.
If the company puts some money behind the bar, if your boss basically pays
but usually
for you
only
to have
the poorest
time.
Paid workers go. I don't go to Christmas parties anymore.
Well, yeah, but I mean, there's a reason for that, because they don't get a chance to go and spend that kind of money sometimes in a very plush area, in a very nice bar or a very nice hotel.
Yeah.
And they really appreciate it and they really like it.
Yeah, but then they drink too much because they go, it's all free. They throw it down the throat. So it's a health hazard, really.
I think you've become very curmudgeonly in your old
days. No, I'm not curmudgeonly. I'm just trying to be
reasonable.
There
must have been a time when you went to Christmas parties.
Yeah, there was, but you know, now that
you probably partook of the ale as you would normally.
Yeah, I've outgrown those things.
And you probably would have occasionally left the premises with somebody that you hadn't arrived with.
Undoubtedly.
Yeah.
Or I would have tried to anyway.
I mean, why would you, you know, make it impossible for anybody else to do that?
Well, if they want to, but I'm as an older and wiser person, I'm saying beware. You
I
know, because those sort of things can happen.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
You must tell us in future podcasts whether or not she's successful.
Yes, indeed, I will. Yeah. I will. Yeah,
Hopefully, if she's suffered.
Yeah.
Maybe she should have sued the guy individually, though, rather than actually suing the organisation.
Well, it was their responsibility for putting the party on in the first place and inviting him.
Yeah, but that starts to get a bit tricky, doesn't
it? You know, the way it's going is they were suing the charity. Mm. Now, let's move on, because there's lots of stories we've got to cover in this podcast.
Yeah, okay.
Right? Now, I told you ages ago, I said the idea of replacing the 5p bag with a bag for life in supermarkets. So the 5p bag... Yeah. Little bit of plastic, put your stuff in it, take it home, throw it away, okay? You put it in a bin or something like that. And what's happened now is they said, no, we'll give you a bag for life.
Yeah, bag for life.
10p.
10p.
And it's
twice as thick.
Yeah, twice as thick, twice as big.
Yeah.
I've got dozens of those at home
Why?
Now from Morrison's, because it's the only one you can buy.
Well, why don't you take a proper bag for life, like a cloth one?
No.
Because, why not?
Because I look like a Nancy walking round.
A Nancy?
Yeah, yeah.
What's that?
Well, you know, somebody who looks like a Burke. walking round.
No,
with a material bag to walk into Morrison's. People would think, what a strange man. He looks like Roy from Coronation Street.
You would love a guy that I spoke to about this recently, right?
Yeah.
He was some kind of, you know, clean earth campaigner.
Oh, yeah.
And he said to me, well, here's what I do.
Mm.
I said, what do you do? He said, well, I carry around a rucksack with me.
Oh, right.
So I immediately thought of you.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, because he's your least favourite people.
Yeah.
And he puts his shopping in his rucksack.
Oh, God.
Can you imagine? I said, well, how long have you had that?
Yeah.
And he said, oh, about 12 years.
Yeah.
I said, it must stink.
Yeah, it must, yeah.
Your rucksack. Yeah. He said, oh, well, I could wash it.
Mm.
I mean, but can you imagine going into a supermarket with a rucksack
with
all the other crap that you've got in it?
That's right.
And I said, well, you can't put a chicken in there or something, can you?
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. God, how awful.
Yeah.
But anyway, the plastic bags for life are being killed off now by supermarkets.
Yeah.
Because they are aware it's making the waste problem much worse, So Lidl has admitted that many of its 9p bags for life are being used only once and thrown away. Less than 1% of their customers come back with the bag they bought last time for 9p and use it again.
Do you know
they
what?
They just throw it away.
Lidl's bags for life are actually quite good, because I remember last time we moved house, I went to Lidl's and bought about 10 of them.
Right.
They're really good for when you're moving stuff and you don't want to put it in a suitcase.
Yeah.
You know, you just want to put it in a bag and put it in the back of the car.
Yes.
They're fantastic for that.
Right.
And so we've probably got loads of them.
Right. Now, it's also made a lot of people very rich.
Yeah.
Because when the supermarkets had to start ordering bag for life bags, which are more expensive to buy.
Yeah.
What about this? Here we go. So Lidl's, right?
Yeah.
This is Lidl's.
Right.
Are going to remove bags from sale at 54 stores in Wales.
Wales.
They're going to Wales first.
Right.
A lot of countryside in Wales.
There is indeed.
You don't want those beautiful bubbling streams.
Welsh Wales.
Babbling streams, I meant.
Brooks.
Babbling Brooks to be clogged up with the bags for life, okay?
Yeah, you're doing Rodri Williams again.
Rodri Williams. So they are withdrawing them from all UK stores, and that will save 80 million bags, 80 million, and 2,500 tons of plastic.
Really?
That's what they're made up of, 2,500 tons of plastic.
When I was years and years ago, when all this business started with plastic bags, I was told by a guy who was actually a plastic bag manufacturer that it's actually much easier and cheaper and cost-effective and cleaner for the environment to make plastic bags. Because paper bags, for example, are much more difficult to transport because they don't go down.
Well, you have to chop trees down to make.
Well, one, you have to chop trees down, but also it's a chemical process to make paper bags as well.
Right.
So you're polluting the water.
And
plus, if you want to carry, if you put paper bags inside a lorry, you'll get a lot fewer of them than you will plastic bags.
Because they're thicker. Yeah, that's
right. So actually, plastic bags are not that bad for the environment.
Richard Walker, Iceland's joint managing director. Iceland are the high street chain as well, right? You know, they sell a lot of frozen food.
They do.
As you might guess, name Iceland. Admitted that the change had increased the amount of plastic we use.
Yeah.
Campaigners against plastic waste, said they hoped that Little's decision would prompt other. I mean, the do-gooders all the time, working on the dogma rather than common sense, always make the bloody problem worse.
And then, they say, well, why is it that nobody trusts experts anymore? Because they're always fucking it up, that's why.
That's right, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They don't know what they're doing.
So Stan Sutherland, who is Stan Sutherland, a great name, co-founder of Plastic Planet. We campaign for plastic-free aisles in supermarkets. We applaud Little for taking action and telling the truth. But it was you who told them to put the bag for lives in in the first place,
Well, it's like the
Stan.
Tossers that told us to drive diesel cars.
That's right, yeah,
and
of course it is.
It's like, that was going to save the planet.
Yeah.
And now we're being told, oh, actually, no, that was the wrong advice.
Yes.
And in fact, you're now killing the planet.
That's right, absolutely.
What an absolute joke.
Alina Polisano of Greenpeace.
Oh, yeah.
They're the people who go around in boats trying to kill people at sea and all this kind of stuff, don't they?
Eh? No.
Yeah, they do.
That's a bit harsh.
Stop whaling ships and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but they're not trying to kill people.
Well, they are, you know, they're in danger of trying to kill
people. Well, they can endanger lives.
All right, I must correct myself.
Yeah, you may
want
to do that.
Greenpeace do not go and try and kill people.
No, they don't.
What I'm saying is,
although the French tried to kill them, do you remember?
Oh, they sunk their boat in New Zealand.
Yeah, the Rainbow Warrior.
Yeah, yeah, blow it out of, you know.
Fucking French.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but here's the thing. Did you see that story the other day, by the way, about the Japanese ferry that collided with a whale?
Oh yeah, it did, yeah.
And
that's
it practically ruined the boat.
That's right. The boat was wrecked, but the whale wasn't.
You'd have to be a pretty plankish captain of a boat to hit a whale, wouldn't you?
You would. You would.
Because I mean, the whale's not trying to hit the boat.
That's right. Now again, the do-gooders, right? So they said, well, we can get people out of cars by allowing people on mopeds and small bicycles to drive in bus lanes.
Yes.
That'll be great.
Yeah.
Guess what's happened?
What?
There are 10 times more scooters and bikes on the road now, driving around in bus lanes, which are closer to the pavement than the cars are, which have massively increased pollution levels in big cities. And they're all being driven by Eataroo and all those companies. You know what they're called?
Hey?
Eataroo?
Eataroo?
Isn't it?
Is that the Australian company that sells kangaroo meat?
I don't think
Eataroo,
so.
Mate.
I don't know.
Do you mean Deliveroo?
Deliveroo.
Yeah.
Deliveroo.
That's and there's Just Eat as well.
And Just Eat and all that kind of stuff.
Do you have those in Stockbroker Belt?
Absolutely.
Do you?
Yeah.
Because you're really part of London, aren't you?
No. Don't be silly. That
you
far
are.
Down in Stockbroker Belt. You get them, of course.
You can't
you do.
Get them in Sussex.
Can't get them in Sussex?
No, because that's proper countryside.
Not civilised, you see.
No, it's not proper countryside.
So, once again, you know, the whole idea of cleaning up the environment.
Well, do you know what else is the problem?
It's going wrong because they got it all wrong again.
Do you know what the other problem is that they're creating?
What?
And I didn't realise this until I went to.
Yep.
Have you heard of a place called Shake Shack?
Shake Shack?
Yeah.
It's an interesting name.
Shake Shack is a
Shake. Shake your body down.
Yeah, it's similar
to that.
That.
Shake.
Is it
shake
the
your
Casey
body
the
down.
Sunshine band,
something like that, yeah.
No, well, Shake Shack is one of these new trendy hamburger joints, right?
Okay.
Started in America. I'm not sure if it started in New York.
Yeah.
I went to the first one in New York, and people were literally queuing around the block.
Yeah.
And they do really nice
crinkly
chips.
How can anybody make a burger that much better than somebody else's burger?
They are pretty good.
Right, okay.
Right, but they opened up in Britain. There's one in Covent Garden. There's one in... there's now one in Canary Wharf, right?
It's a victory for meat eaters, though, isn't it?
Oh, it is. They also do a good veggie burger as well.
Right, okay.
But no, people love burgers. I mean, when I was in California, everybody said to me, you've got to go to the In-N-Out Burger,
right?
Where they've literally got thousands of them all over the place.
Mm.
And all they do is three hamburgers.
Right.
And you go in and you can only have one of three things.
What are they?
Well, there's a cheeseburger, there's a sort of double one, and there's a plain hamburger.
Right.
Very simple.
Yeah.
You can have cheese on the chips if you want, but otherwise you can only order three things.
Wow.
And they're making a fucking absolute fortune.
Yeah, I bet they are.
Anyway,
so
these guys Shake Shack, right? Mm. Last time the kids were in town, a few months ago, they wanted to go there, so we went there.
Yes.
And it was chaos. And do you know why it was chaos?
No.
Because standing at the counter waiting for food...
Yeah.
In addition to us,
yes.
was about seven guys with crash helmets on.
Right.
Because they were delivering Shake Shack to people at home.
I see.
Because what happens is you ring Deliveroo or Just Eat.
Yeah.
And they then get the drivers to go and get and go and order it.
Right.
And then bring it to you.
Golly.
So they're at the, but there's nowhere separate for them to go. So
well, they just have to queue up like everybody else.
So they have to queue up everybody else. Well,
surely there must be a delivery window.
No.
You know, these are for deliveries and all that kind of stuff.
No. So well, they've completely ruined the business. Yeah. And I've sworn now never to go back to Shake Shack.
Right. Okay.
Because when we got our meal,
yep.
it was wrong. It was cold,
right.
and it took bloody ages. And I said, I'm never coming back here. And it's all because of these characters who are screwing up the system.
Well, that's not good.
Shocking.
It's not good. So what I'm saying is, once again, those who think they can make our air cleaner are not making it cleaner. Mm. And just on this section of the show, just to put another boot in on the dogma rather than the practicality and the common sense... A third of Britain's electricity will be generated by offshore wind farms by 2030 under new government plans.
Oh, yeah.
That will make another branch of the Millionaires Club exceed, beyond your expectations, the ease and ability to con the government out of money. What you do is, because it's all very well saying a third of Britain's electricity will be generated by offshore wind by 2030... It's so fucking expensive, right, that it'll bankrupt the country. We've already got the most expensive
power. Well, we'll be subsidising for sure.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So I'm thinking of a new plan.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking, instead of you and I coming into studios like this all the time and, you know, working tremendously hard with our brains and our body and all that kind of stuff, going into other studios, you know, performing in front of cameras and all that, we should put all our money together, go and buy a fucking field in Derbyshire, right, near the Peak District, where there's a lot of hills and mountains, and apply to the government to build a wind turbine, right?
Well, surely more than one.
Well, okay, maybe four or something like that, but they're quite expensive. And what we do is, we just say, right, that's it, thanks a lot, give us 10 million, will you? And then we just pay somebody about 25 grand a year to sit there in a little hut.
Collecting the energy.
Yeah, or just pressing a button now.
Well, it can't be that simple.
It is that simple.
Well, so we could live off the millions of pounds that the government gives us.
Yeah, we could, yeah.
Really?
We could.
Well, why are we not fucking doing that instead of this?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Well, can you get it organised?
Yeah, I will get it organised. I mean, it takes about 6 months to build these things, and you have to order the propeller.
Well, do you know the propellers? Yeah. One of the problems with the propellers
they kill birds.
Well, not only that. No, I don't care about that.
Yeah.
But what I care
about. You should care about
it. Why should I care about that?
I don't want birds killed.
No, that'd be ridiculous.
Yeah, anyway.
I don't give a shit about that.
Yeah, that's
the point is. The point is. The one company that used to make those was on the Isle of Wight.
Right.
Right? And guess what? It's fucking shut down.
Yes, it has,
They've gone out of business.
That's right, yeah.
Because they weren't building enough of them.
That's
so
right.
So now we have to order in from away somewhere in Europe.
Yes, that's right.
Or China or somewhere.
The propellers.
Yeah.
But I mean, it is... Ministers have backed industry proposals to build hundreds more turbines in UK waters, which would mean that electricity output from the technology soars from last year's total of about 8% of national supplies to 30% within 12 years.
So they want to put them in the sea, not in Derbyshire.
They'll put them anywhere. They'll put them anywhere. They'll put them in the sea because they're running out of land, okay?
Right.
Because farmers have...
But that must be even more expensive to put them in the sea.
Of course it is, yeah.
I can't even imagine how you'd begin to do that.
Well, we don't want to...
How do they do that?
I don't know. We don't want to buy a part of the sea.
No, seriously.
Well, listen, if they can put oil rigs in the North Sea and anchor them to the bottom of the North Sea, it can't be that difficult to put these windmills in the sea, can
it? They don't build oil rigs in the North Sea very often, do they?
Yeah, listen to this.
Go on.
The plans underscore the sharp reduction in costs from earlier projects that secured far higher subsidies. One wind farm alone, it's called the 1.2 GW Hornsey 1 development in shallow water off the East Yorkshire coast, which produced its first power last month after years of construction, is estimated to have taken £500 million of subsidies each year that it has been constructed.
That's ridiculous.
£500 million.
That's mad.
Subsidies from the government, okay?
Man, who's fucking spending that kind of money?
It's just outrageous.
Yeah.
It's fucking outrageous.
It is.
Now that, it's cleaner air, it's also going to bankrupt the country.
Yeah.
It is going to bankrupt. Mm. Old people will die because they won't be able to afford to use this.
Mind you, half a million is nothing. You know how much HS...
No, 500 million. Yeah. 500
million. Half a billion.
Half a billion.
Yeah, well, do you know how much HS2's costing?
80 or 90 billion.
Yeah, probably.
That's on the most recent estimate.
Well, the original estimate was 56 billion.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's not even going to be ready until both you and I are probably dead.
Honest to God.
It can't be finished until 2033.
It's disgraceful.
It's a fucking ridiculous state of affairs. So we haven't got a lot of time left in this second half.
Well, don't worry, we've got things to talk about. Now, I see
By the way, did you see that great story about the woman who was attacked by the jaguar? The jaguar. She was in a zoo, I think, somewhere in America.
No.
And she decided...
I thought you meant a car then.
No.
Yeah.
By the way, I should tell you this. The new electric F-Pace has been named Car of the Year. Now, I've got to get a new car this year.
Yes.
But I don't want to get the same car.
Well, you don't get an electric one either, because you can't power it up. Well, it doesn't take you far enough.
Well, no, they're getting much better, though.
Bollocks.
It's just been named Car of the Year. Listen, I know you go banging on about how you hate electric cars.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's really quick, right? It charges really fast.
Yeah.
My problem is, I can't persuade the mother of my children to rig up a electric charging
That's
post.
That's what I mean, at home.
Yeah, she won't do it.
And how many do you see on your journey from Sussex into London?
What?
But electric charging points.
Oh, there's loads.
Rubbish.
Do you know what? In fact, I haven't told you this.
Yeah.
Because
you haven't told me. You're going to tell me, are you?
I'm going to tell you
this
now.
I'm honoured.
I'm going to tell you this now. No, because I've been saving it up. So I actually took a picture of it.
Right.
To put it out on Twitter, and then I didn't do it.
Right.
In my street in London.
In my street.
Do you know?
What are you doing in my street, Jimmy?
In my street in London, every single lamppost now has got a plug.
Yeah.
Right? It's got a little blue light.
Yeah.
So every lamppost is now a charging point for an electric car.
Absolutely pathetic.
Well, it's not pathetic. You were always saying to me, oh, there's none of these charging points. Every fucking lamppost in my street is now an electric car charging point.
If we had a show in Manchester tomorrow, I don't care how long you charge your car up overnight, we get in that car the next day, drive to Manchester, you'd only get halfway there before you'd
have
to...
Well, I would have heard you in it because you're so fat. But the point is if, you know, you didn't sit in my
car. That's just gratuitous nastiness, isn't it? Just gratuitous nastiness. I'm telling you, electric cars don't work.
No, you're wrong.
They don't work.
You're totally wrong. Listen, if they didn't work, how would it become the bloody car of the year?
Because people like Elon Musk mount huge publicity campaigns, spending hundreds of millions of pounds to make it look as though they are the future.
Tesla is a very good company.
It's not going to succeed in the end.
I think it is.
We will run out of electricity.
No,
I keep telling you, we haven't got enough electricity
power
stations.
I've just told you. You can get it all out of the lampposts.
Anyway, listen, talk.
Anyway, so you go back to the woman in the Jaguar.
Yeah, yeah.
She goes, and here's how thick some of these people are, right?
Yeah.
She climbs over the fence where the Jaguar lives.
Well, she must have mental problems.
Because, she wanted to have a selfie. She was there to take a selfie of herself with the Jaguar in the background.
Yeah.
And guess what?
What?
He went for her.
And has he killed her?
No, she's still alive.
Just or?
No, she's all right, actually. I mean, she got injured.
Yeah.
Because, the Jaguar wasn't too keen.
No, exactly, yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's one of these Darwin awards, isn't it? Stupid woman.
Stupid. Yeah. Now, talking about power, we've just been talking about.
Power.
Right? I always said that if somebody made a phone, which was just a phone, and maybe the odd message...
Mm.
It would come back into fashion very quickly because it's like the Concorde.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to row back from technology because it's too good for the world, too inconvenient.
Uh-huh.
And so guess what? They are making a new phone, a chunky mobile phone, battery life of 50 days.
50 days?
50 days, right?
Okay.
It's a month and 2/3. And it is the antidote to the ultra-sleek handset. What are you looking
Only
at?
You would say it's a month and 2/3.
What do you mean?
It's nearly 2 months. Why would you say a month
and 2/3? It's a month
and
20 days. That's a month and 2/3. I've got a mathematical brain.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
It's called the Energizer Power Max P18K
Pop.
Okay?
Pop.
Yeah, Pop. It'll be known as the
P-O-P.
Pop phone. Yeah.
Right.
It's as thick as you. No, it's as thick as... It's as thick as 2 or 3 ordinary smartphones.
Well, why
so you've
want
got
one?
Your smartphone here.
Yeah.
I've got
All
mine
right.
there.
So imagine that, right?
Now, and another
that's
one on top.
Big. Yeah, that's
three.
Too big.
Three.
That's
so,
too big.
So I'm just going to, because this is sound and not visual,
right.
So folks, it will be an inch deep, right?
Yes.
Do you agree?
Easy.
It'll be an inch and a half deep.
Yeah.
Inch and a half deep, right?
Or maybe an inch and 2/3.
Yeah. But that's not as big as the original phones, which are house bricks that we used to have to
no.
deal with, right?
No.
Now...
Do you remember what make those were? I think they were Motorola.
Motorola rings a bell.
Yeah. I think the original sort of...
even before that, Nokia, I think.
Did Nokia...
Nokia,
no,
I think.
Well,
so
Nokia
right
made
from
the
start,
brick, I think,
yeah,
maybe.
Nokia made the brick, yeah. Now, let me see. So it features a power pack with 18,000 mAh.
What's that?
Well, I don't know. That's how they measure it. And...
What's the point of reading all this shit out?
Hang on, This because people want to know. The highest capacity ever seen in a smartphone is just 2,716 M-A-H.
If you don't know what the hell it is, though.
I do.
What's M-A-H?
Well, that's just to weigh it up. That's just right. Right.
You know, I got offered
users
by Apple the other day. I got an email from Apple the other day.
Yes, yes.
Because I think I've had this more than a year now.
Right.
And this is an Apple 7 Plus.
Yes.
Right? I was offered the opportunity, if I wished to take it into an Apple store, because Apple are struggling a bit at the moment.
Oh, yeah, they
their
are.
Their phones are too expensive.
Too expensive.
And they don't really do much more than they used to do.
And we've sort of maxed out in our need for new things on phones.
Exactly.
Yeah.
However, there is a new one that I could get, which you see how that button there is not part of the screen.
Yes.
The new one now has the screen that comes all the way down.
Oh.
Right, so it's quite good. Anyway, however, the other thing is that they've said if I bring it into an Apple store, they will exchange it for a brand new phone for just £499.
Oh, okay. Is that good?
Well,
and what about the monthly charges?
Well, I still have to pay for the Vodafone connection that I've got.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
but I'd have a brand new phone.
I wouldn't spend £500 on a new phone.
I wouldn't.
I can't see why.
Well, because the point is that you know, if you had said to me, do you know how much this phone costs?
No,
£1,000.
£1,000. Yeah.
If you had said to me 10 years ago, you're going to have a phone that's worth £1,000.
Yeah.
I'd go, don't talk.
We've got a spare two mics phone, haven't we?
Well, it's not spare. I've still got it.
Oh, we've still got it. Yeah. So, I mean, what do we use it for now?
We take pictures with it still.
Oh, we do, yeah, okay.
Occasionally use it for videos.
Yeah, good, okay. Yeah, that's good. Yeah,
I don't really use it for much else. It's kind of a spare phone.
Spare phone, okay, that's good.
It's still actually got quite a few good pictures on it. It's got all, for example, it's got all of the little videos we shot in Edinburgh.
Yeah, well, we need
them. Still got all that.
We need them.
It's got...
Shouldn't you download these onto a hard disk or something?
Well, they're on my computer. They're backed up on my computer.
I'm glad to hear that. Good. Now, this phone, right, so to put it into perspective...
Yeah. But why would you want a phone that you can't check Twitter with, for example?
Well...
I mean, why would you want that?
Some people just want a phone, and I can see that.
Well, I don't.
Yes, I do.
You're on Twitter now as much as I am.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, maybe people want more than one phone. The beauty of this one is users will be able to make up to 90 hours of calls.
Yeah, but I never call anybody.
Yeah.
I don't even call. You know, my phone never rings.
Right.
Hardly ever.
Listen to 100 hours of music.
Oh, so it's got music on it.
It's got music on it. Right. And watch 2 days of video. So it's a proper phone.
So it's internet ready. Then.
Yes, that's right. 2 days of video on a single charge.
Well, hang on. So how is it just an ordinary phone?
Well, it's a bigger ordinary phone. If you see what I mean.
It's
you know what I
mean? Bollocks. So your initial selling point of this to
me
was that it's a phone that doesn't do anything except just make calls.
It's going to be called Thick Boy, right? Which is great.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
You should get one.
Yeah, definitely. That's right. Yeah. And
yeah, but it does everything that every other phone does.
And guess what?
What?
If you had
one. How much
one,
is it?
I don't know. I'll get around to that in a minute. If you had one, there's so much power in it that this slimline phone you're talking about, the iPhone that you like, you can charge that up from your brick phone, from your thick phone.
Well,
your
why thick would phone, I want a thick phone?
Your thick phone,
phone
is
well
a battery as well. That's pretty good, isn't it?
They say you should always be careful of people who've got more than one phone.
Yes, that's
it means
right.
They're up to no good, usually.
Yes.
But why on earth would I want two phones?
Well, lots of people have two phones.
No, they have two phones that are up to no good.
Yeah, that's usually it, isn't it? Yeah. So, unlike the various no-frills phones on the market, the Fat Boy is a smartphone.
The Thick Boy.
Thick Boy, man. Yeah, that's
Fat
right.
Boy's
the yeah, that's right. Yeah, the Thick Boy. Is a smartphone with Google's Android operating system, two cameras, 6 GB of RAM.
Right.
What's RAM?
RAM is random access memory, I think.
Ram on. That was a Paul McCartney song.
Ram on.
Ram on. Give your heart to somebody.
Ram. Did you have an album called Ram?
Soon. That's it. Yeah, yeah.
So it wasn't Ram on as in like the Spanish word for Raymond.
No. It's Ram on as
Ram.
You know, He had a picture of him holding a ram by the horns.
I remember that.
Right.
Ram off.
It goes on sale this summer.
So this is basically an ordinary phone, which does all the things that my phone does.
Yes.
Only it's about three times as thick.
And it does it for 90 days.
Well, so what?
And it costs £515, I found out.
Okay.
How about
so
that?
For an Android phone, which is what it is,
similar
to, how much was your phone?
Oh, I don't know.
Because the good thing about Android phones is that some people say they're much better than Apple.
Yeah.
But they're also a lot cheaper.
Are they? I don't know.
I think a Samsung like yours, which does all the things probably that mine does, is probably at least half the price.
Half the price. Anyway, look, just to let you know.
But I don't want a thick phone.
Okay. Well, I quite like a thick phone. It makes me feel like I've got something
maybe you
more
should
solid
get one
in my hand.
Well, why don't you get one?
Well, hang on. Look, what I was going to say to you was, I went into Carphone Warehouse.
Did you?
Because when I was selling tickets for the sellout show, Life on Planet Porky,
oh, yes.
I needed to be able to check on my phone how many tickets were left. I only had to do it once because they sold out immediately.
Did they?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I went to Carl Van Weyer and he showed me how to use paste and all that kind of stuff.
Cut and paste?
Cut and paste, because I had to get to the link where the tickets were and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Did you buy any yourself?
No.
Why not?
Why do I need to?
Well, because you might have wanted to buy some so that you could be sure that if you had friends that wanted to come,
I've made arrangements.
I've made arrangements. Because there's not many seats there.
No, I've made arrangements.
There's no. They won't let you have anyone standing.
No, made arrangements. Don't worry, I've got all that.
Do you remember
sorted.
When I nearly set fire to the place?
Yes, I do. You set fire to the window. in the dressing room.
I was remember making the video.
That's right. Yeah. It wasn't a.
Well, I went to flick the cigarette out, right?
Yeah.
Because I was smoking in the toilet, which I'm supposed to do.
Yes.
And it got stuck.
That's right.
And I couldn't reach it.
It set fire to the paint around the window. Yeah. That was very dangerous, that. We might have had to evacuate the theatre.
Well, we might have burnt it down.
Might have burnt it down, indeed. Good job you've given up smoking.
Yeah, exactly.
For which is very commendable.
Thank you very much indeed.
What I was going to say was... so when I went into Carl Phone Warehouse, he looked at my phone and he said, you can change this if you want. And I said, oh, really? He said, yeah, you've got it on contract now until December.
Right.
He said,
so you probably paid for it, right?
I think so. He said, if you change it now, it'll cost you, I remember him saying, £385.
Right.
And I said, do I need to change it? He said, not really. We haven't got an upgraded phone on that. People just like new phones.
Yeah.
And I said, what happens in December? He said, we'll give you another one free.
Right.
So it's that sort of deal.
Yes.
You know?
Well, that's the same as I get. Depending on how long your contract is, you can get an upgrade at a certain point.
Yes.
And if you want an earlier upgrade, you have to pay them more money.
Yes, I see.
So I can normally
get... That's right, yeah.
So I can normally get... I normally wait until it's free.
Yeah.
Or it's £30 or something.
Okay. Now, listen, we're still right in the middle of the...
We're out of time now.
Oh, don't worry, it's another good one, don't worry.
Well, you better hurry up.
We're right in the middle of the Brexit muddle again.
Yes.
No, still nobody knows what's going on.
No.
Despite the first votes, the second votes in Commons,
Well, by the time people hear this, mate, they might know a bit more.
It'll still be a muddle. It'll still be a muddle.
I wouldn't be surprised.
It's still a muddle.
Yeah.
I can predict that.
Yeah.
Even if this show is made the day before it goes out, it's a muddle. Believe me, it's all a muddle.
I wouldn't be surprised.
But you know what? I don't know how France is a prosperous country at all. Because I've come across, in one of my financial economic journals, the state of play in France. Mm. And it is simply unbelievable that France are anything like a prosperous country. The Macron government has
nobody seems to do any work there for a start.
Nobody does any work. It's a bit like
Greece.
They don't work
on a Monday.
That's right.
They take the entire month of August off.
They do, yeah.
And other than that, they don't do much during the week either.
People who work more than 36 hours a week can be fined.
Yeah.
You know, for... No, they can.
I know.
Be fined and all this kind of stuff.
They're not allowed also. They've not got a rule about how you can't receive any emails once you've left the office.
That's right. You mustn't send out business emails once you've left the office and all that kind of stuff. But get this. The Macron government has been ordered by Europe to reform their unemployment benefits after revealing that hundreds of thousands of workers now don't seek employment because the system has developed so magnificently for those who don't work that they enjoy a better standard of living when they lose their jobs.
Yeah.
There's a guy there in France called Edouard Philippe. He's the Prime Minister. Yeah. Did you know that?
I didn't.
No, I didn't even know they had a Prime Minister.
I mean, I know they have a Prime Minister because there was always a time when, I think when it was Sarkozy was the president.
That's right.
Did they not have François Mitterrand?
No, never in the same era.
There was Mitterrand and somebody else that we both knew.
Yeah,
the name of.
Yeah, there was Mitterrand and the guy who fathered a child when he was 70 or something. Big shaggers, the French.
Well, they are. Yeah.
And remember the last guy who was absolutely fucking hopeless, the guy who ran France, was spotted jumping on the back of a moped one morning at the Elysee Paris and being chauffeured on a moped to the apartment of a woman who's his mistress to give her a good scene to.
It wasn't Sarkozy,
before breakfast. No, that wasn't Sarkozy. No, that was the guy who looked really dumb. You know, he had glasses and a bald head.
Yeah.
You know, the guy.
No, I remember the guy you're talking about. Yeah.
And in fact, one thing I remember about that guy was at his initiation ceremony on the Champs Elysees. For some bizarre reason, he was driven up the Champs Elysees in the back of a Triumph Herald. a drop top Triumph Herald.
Well, I mean, you know, they have a little style, the French, don't they?
Yeah, this was when I say a drop top. I mean, it was a convertible Triumph Herald. He was sitting in the back of it, I remember.
Well, people like those cars.
What was that guy's name? That wasn't Mitterrand.
Mitterrand.
No, but you know the guy I'm talking about.
I'm going to have to look it up now.
But anyway, look, it's getting so bad in France now, you don't have to work. The rule concerns employees on temporary contracts working 2 weeks out of four. If they stop work altogether and claim job seekers allowance, they double their income. until the unemployment benefit right comes to an end after a few months. They're then going to get a job for a couple of weeks, okay?
Right.
And then as long as they work for a couple of weeks, they then make themselves unemployed again and go back and get more. They get up to 7,000 euros a month.
That's ridiculous.
French jobless giving up to 7,000 euros a month. That's about 6,500 quid.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that's 70 grand a year.
Well, I mean, the pound and the euro is so really close now that it's hardly any difference at all.
That's right.
That's a lot of money, isn't it?
Yeah. France has been told you can no longer afford to continue their current system, which can pay out up to 1,737 euros a week, which is three times higher than Europe's second most generous country, which is Denmark, right?
Yeah.
So I'm very pleased about that.
Yes.
And I'm
they have a very high tax rate, though, don't they?
Very high tax. And I'm
was
even
it
more pleased.
Hollande, was
Hollande.
The guy?
Hollande. Yeah. Hollande was
he
the
was
guy.
After Sarkozy. And yeah, before he was. Him, Jacques Chirac.
Chirac, that's right. I think Chirac Mitterrand. And Mitterrand were all at the same time.
Well, it's got Mitterrand 81 to 95, and then Chirac 95 to 2007.
Yeah.
But, Giscard d'Estaing.
That's right. But they spend an awful lot of time shagging around, don't they, all those French politicians, they do. You know? There's a famous expression in France amongst women, and it is something like. 3 minutes avec le shower. It means 3 minutes, including the shower.
Yeah.
You know, rapid shagging in government offices.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Didn't you know that?
No, I haven't heard that.
Well, you must have heard it.
I've never heard it.
Well, you're not a man of the world, then, are you?
Well, I must not be.
It's.
Have you seen the time, by the way?
3 minutes avec le shower. Yeah, but anyway, listen. I'll just let you know.
You hurry up.
The best thing about this story,
including the shower.
Best thing about this story is I've been very critical of the inflated welfare state in this country, which I believe was instituted by Gordon Brown in order
still
to...
Still blaming him.
I am. In order to make more people dependent on the government than on private enterprise. Yeah. And yet the maximum you can draw in France is, I'm delighted to say, 23 times more than the maximum you can draw in Britain.
Really?
But I don't believe that.
Well, hang on.
Because people in Britain can
We've been supposedly told that the ceiling now for claiming benefits is 26,000 a year.
Yeah, that's right.
You're telling me that the French ceiling is 23 times that.
Well,
that can't be right.
Well, this is what my economist fan friends.
You've got that wrong. Because that would mean, right, that you're able to draw half a million fucking quid.
That's right,
which is not right.
No. With the country's unemployment agency in France is 35 billion in debt.
Right.
That's what they owe to unemployed people, right, which they borrowed from the government to pay them, right?
Right.
And Mr. Philippe, you know, the old prime minister, the knobhead, has promised to make savings of up to 1.3 billion euros a year.
Well, you know what's going
to
happen. Between now
and 20, of course, they will.
They're all rioting.
They have riots every weekend now. It's become a pastime in France, hasn't it? Oh, it
Let's
is.
Let's go beat some gilets jaunes.
It is. What's France? What's Friday? Verdi.
Verdi
and Demain. Demain is Saturday.
Yeah.
Verdi and Demain. Whee! riot.
Yeah.
That's all they do in France now at the weekend.
Sounds like Yiddish you just did there.
Oh, riot. I'm right, you know.
You are. With the two mics.
We should put all our money together, go and buy a fucking field in Derbyshire, near the Peak District, where there's a lot of hills and mountains, and apply to the government to build a wind turbine,
Well, surely more than one.
Well, okay, maybe four or something like that, but they're quite expensive. Uh-huh. And what we do is, we just say, right, that's it, thanks a lot, give us 10 million, will you?
Mm.
And then we just pay somebody about 25 grand a year to sit there in a little hut.
Collecting the energy.
Yeah, or just pressing a button now.
Well, it can't be that simple.
It is that simple.
Well, so we could live off the millions of pounds that the government gives us.
Yeah, we could,
Really?
We could.
Well, why are we not fucking doing that instead of this?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Well, can you get organised?
Yeah, I will get it organised.
There was Mitterrand and somebody else that we both knew.
There was Mitterrand and the guy who fathered a child when he was 70 or something. Big shaggers, the French.
Well,
And remember the last guy who was absolutely fucking hopeless, the guy around France, was spotted jumping on the back of a moped one morning at the Elysee Paris and being chauffeured on a moped to the apartment of a woman who was his mistress to give her a good scene to.
It wasn't Sarkozy,
before,
was it?
Before breakfast. No, that wasn't Sarkozy, no. That was the guy who looked really dumb. You know, he had glasses and a bald head.
Yeah.
You know, the guy And in fact, one thing I remember about that guy was, at his initiation ceremony on the Champs-Élysées, for some bizarre reason, he was driven up the Champs-Élysées in the back of a Triumph Herald. a drop-top Triumph Herald.
Well, I mean, you know, they have a little style, the French.
Sandra Shelbourne, yeah. Who's aged 61. 61? And by the way, I'll show you a picture of her, because I wouldn't have picked her up, right? You know, would you have picked her up?
Crikey.
No.
No.
No,
absolutely
at 61.
No chance.